welcome to Preach the Word with Brother Dean Carmichael of Greensboro. And now let's welcome our dear friend, Brother Dean.
Zechariah chapter number 4 and verse number 10 says, "For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel, which those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth." The title of the message this week is Embrace the Small Things. Embrace the Small Things. Now, Zechariah is giving us a message of comfort and a message of reassurance to the nation Israel. Zechariah was a contemporary with the prophet Haggai. Now, just to give you a brief timeline, if you'll just go back with me to the Exodus stage. So you have the Exodus stage, you have Moses in the Exodus stage, and we all know that leads to Joshua in the conquest stage, and then that leads to the time of the judges, where man did that which was right in his own eyes. And then after the judges stage, it ended up with Samuel, and Israel told Samuel that they wanted a king. And so Samuel anointed Saul, and then of course David, and that's what ushered in the United Kingdom stage. Then after the United Kingdom stage, that ended with Solomon, and then you had the divided kingdom stage. Now this is where you need to pay close attention. The divided kingdom stage started with Solomon's son, Rehoboam. And Rehoboam and Jeroboam, they would end up, I don't know if you know the story or not, but Rehoboam, he would not listen to the counsel of the wise men who told him to speak kindly to the people, because Jeroboam was complaining about all the taxes they had to pay. So, long story short, Rehoboam, he took counsel of unwise young men and ended up splitting up the kingdom. So Jeroboam took the northern tribes of Israel, which is the 10 tribes known as Israel, and then the southern kingdom, that would be known as the Benjamin and Judah. Those were the two southern kingdom. So you have this divided kingdom. Now, of both the northern and the southern kingdoms, please understand something. Both of them would end up going into captivity. The Assyrians would eventually take the northern kingdom, and then the Babylonians would take the southern kingdom, which is Judah and Benjamin. Out of the northern kingdom, there was not one godly king. Out of the southern kingdom, there was a handful of godly kings. Now, this Babylonian captivity, we know the story of Daniel. And so what happens is you have a remnant that comes back. Now, Haggai and Zechariah, they are the ones who are going to purge this remnant. So they return to Israel from Babylon, and they're rebuilding the temple. Now, the rebuilding of the temple has actually been stopped due to opposition. So with Zechariah, with Haggai, they're going to restart the building project. And, of course, they would see it completed soon after. So, what we're going to focus on this week is, when the foundations of this temple were laid, it was very small compared to the former. What was the former? It was Solomon's temple. So, the rivals of Israel, of course, doubted them. The supporters even doubted them. I can only imagine the fellow laborers were very distraught. Now, notice what Zechariah says in Zechariah 4:10. "For who hath despised the day of small things?" Who hath despised the day of small things? Israel was renovating. They had been in captivity. And now the remnant who had returned needed to be purged. Renovation was needed. Not only in Israel, but in their hearts. Now, talking about a renovation, okay? Renovation is something that is needed oftentimes in our Christian lives. And To be renovated means to revive, to restore. Restoration is a process. I want you to understand this. God is faithful to forgive. He will forgive us immediately. But please understand something. Sometimes to be restored, now I'm not talking about forgiven, but having our responsibilities restored, having our level of maturity restored, our relationships, etc., it takes time. It's a process. Okay, we would love to just say, I'm sorry, and then everything's restored back to normal. But if a person's house is demolished, yes, if you know, God's grace, you can get a new home, rebuild a new one, but you can't just snap your fingers and rebuild a new home. You gotta clean up the old mess, then you gotta go back in, you gotta buy new materials, you gotta make sure you have what you need to build it, et cetera, et cetera. Restoration is a process. Okay, it takes time, and you don't want to get in a rush and speed things up. Well, Israel is in a renovation stage. They're not just rebuilding a building, they're also being purged. They're also inwardly, they need revival. However, Zechariah is questioning, for who hath despised the day of small things? Not only were their rivals doubting them, but their own friends were doubting them, because the foundation of the new temple was not as big, not as impressive as the foundation of Solomon's temple. Now, we can apply this so much today because we want big. We live in a society that wants big. We want big. What do we want? We want big responsibility. We want to go big. It's hard for us to say no. We, you know, as soon as a person gets saved, or as soon as a person gets in church, maybe whatever their story is, boy, they're a part of everything. It's hard for them to say no. They're volunteering for everything. They'll take on something if they're ready for it or not. We want that, though. We want big. We want a very big responsibility. We want big results. We want professions. We want baptisms. We want numbers. We want Facebook likes, YouTube views. When, you know, so-and-so comes to town, we want to tell people, you know, we want a big name. We want a lot, you know, we want big crowds. We use that. We say, hey, how was church last Sunday? Well, it was good. The preacher preached a great sermon. Oh, yeah? How many were there? Or how was your youth conference? Oh, yeah? How many professions of faith were there? Or do you hear about Dr. So-and-so? He had a church that started out with 25, and before he left 30 years later, he had over 2,500 members. We want big. We want big results. We want big knowledge. We want to learn as much as we can so we get as many degrees as we can, and we can say that we know all these things, and we just want to learn and take in and take in and take in. Also, we want big buildings. We want big names. We want big choirs. We want big services, etc. We want big. And there is nothing wrong with wanting big results. There's nothing wrong with wanting a big knowledge of the Bible. There's nothing wrong with wanting a big congregation of people. However, when we begin to despise the small things, okay, embrace the bigness of God, embrace His mission, but also realize He has a love, He also has a reason for the small things. Now, why do we despise the small things? Why is this even a topic of discussion in this sermon? Why do we despise the small things? Well, number one, the culture that drains us. This is referring to our society. We live in a society that wants to achieve big. The preset standard. Got to make so much by a certain time. Achieve certain things by a certain age. Or if you're going to take a certain path, you got to have something by a certain age. Oh, wow, you're 28 and you're not married yet? Oh, well, I'm focusing on my career. Oh, well, that makes sense, right? There's got to be a reason for that. Or, oh, you're focusing on your career and you're 31, but you're not a corporate executive yet, whatever. But I think you see what I'm trying to say there. We want big achievements in our society. We also want to spend big. Cars, food, you name it. But we'll go out to eat 3-4 times a week. We don't mind dropping money. I mean, we spend, I'm preaching to myself here, we spend all kinds of hundreds and thousands of dollars on Amazon. We just spend. It's the society that we live in. We want to live big. We want to have all the latest and greatest. We want to go to all the greatest places. We want to visit all the great sites. We act big. We live in a society that knows it all. Wants to achieve it all. They want to have it all. And even if it's small, they will, you know, limited knowledge, whatever, it needs to be small, but in a big way, right? Though a person who doesn't know as much as everybody in the room will make it cool to not know as much. You know, I don't know what they're all talking about. I don't know anything. And then all of a sudden, you know, their smallness becomes big. That's our culture today. We want to act big. Also, we want to talk big. We want to impress others. You know, you think of social media. You think of just the different platforms. You know, we want to perform big. You think of social media and being able to have so many likes per picture that you post, or if you upload a video, have so many views, things like that. There's a documentary on Jake the Snake Roberts that I was watching one time. It was on Dark Side of the Ring on Vice TV, and it was very sad. It was a very sad documentary, and I can't quote verbatim because I don't have it in front of me, but I remember his brother had mentioned along the lines that professional wrestling had pretty much ruined Jake, because every time Jake would walk into a room, he had to be the center of attention. And he was used to all those thousands of people looking at him. So every time he would walk into a room at a gathering or whatever, all eyes had to be on him. And you think about that just for a second. Is that not the world that we live in right now? It's like we're our own celebrity. Everything we do has to be documented. We can't even just spend time with the family without broadcasting it and trying to get likes and trying for people to almost watch our life like it's a reality show. We have to have big. We have to have a big audience. We have to have a big impact. We have to have big results. Now, Psalm 33 verse 18 says, "Behold, the eyes of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy." Now, our big God has a remarkable love for the small. He loves and looks upon the small people in small places. Matthew chapter 6 verse 4 says that alms may be in secret. I think I might have had a typo there. I apologize. But it's talking about how our alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Now, we're talking about how our culture wants us to be big in everything that we do, whereas we have a Father in heaven who also looks on the small things, and it starts with the small things. There's a place for the day of small things. Also, another reason why we think big is the competitors that damage us. This is referring to our enemies. Okay, it's just another way of, I'm using alliteration to help you remember the points. But this is talking about our enemies, our foes, if you will. So our enemies do not play nice. They don't hold back. Psalm 11 verse 2 says, "For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart." At all times, they're ready. It's even sneaky, as that psalm says. Sometimes you won't even notice. You won't even see it coming. The upright at heart, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, as the Bible says. This is talking about a Psalm 1 life, a holy life. Our enemies attack us in a big way. They are ready for you to just somewhat just, as the Bible says, the devil's a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. Okay, well, we live in a culture of the prince, the power, and the air. That is Satan's, this is his domain, this is his world, this is his. He's the prince of the power of the air. This is his society, and that is what we live in. We live in a society where if for one moment you drop your head, drop your guard, whatever you're doing, you will get shot by an arrow. It will get you. It will get you in so many different ways by so many different individuals. But what happens is we're attacked in a big way. So what does our flesh want to do? Our flesh wants to respond in a big way. We have this mentality that, hey, if we're going to make it, if we're going to make it, we need to fight them big. You know, they're that turn the other cheek thing. I mean, if we're going to keep up with them, we got to do more. Well, the answer is no. Okay? You got to live by the words of Christ. We got to live by the Bible. We got to let God fight our battles. And that is totally contrary with everything that our flesh wants to do. And that's one of the reasons why we respond to things and act to things the way we do, because that's what's constantly coming at us. It's bigness. There's nothing polite about the way the enemy attacks us. And then last of all, the companions that doubt us. This is referring to our friends. Now, I want to read Ezra chapter 3 in verse 10 through 13. Ezra chapter 3. I'll read this for you. Now, this is same time period, okay? So we're talking about Zechariah, Haggai. So this is the remnant. This is the rebuilding of the temple. So you'll find out about this story in the book of Ezra. Where they rebuilt the walls was, of course, Nehemiah. But this is talking about the companions that doubt us. Why do we want big? Why do we feel like we have to achieve big? Why do we despise the small things? Well, this is probably the most important, I would say, introductory point, because yes, our society has to achieve big. Yes, our enemies are going to come at us big, but this one right here, this is where it'll get you, okay? The companions that doubt us. Listen here in Ezra chapter number 3. Let me read verse number 10. And when the builders laid the foundations of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. Now verse 11 through 13. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Amen. Podcast over. I'm kidding. It keeps going. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first house, when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. Okay, so this goes right in line with Zechariah 4. You're talking about the rebuilding of the temple. Zechariah is asking, why are we despising the day of small things? Well, this is the story here. So when the foundations of this new temple were laid, there was rejoicing. There was praising. They sang together, praising, giving thanks unto the Lord. He's good. His mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And they're praising God. But there was another noise. And you know what it was? It was the noise of the ancient men. And they were weeping because the new temple didn't look like Solomon's temple. Boy, can we relate to that. Oh, you should have been here back in the 1970s, back in the 1980s. Oh, boy, I tell you, the God was really moving, and oh, it was real back then. Was it? I'm pretty sure the same God that was real back then is still real today. Oh, but it ain't like it was back in the good old days, or, oh, you should have been there when this happened. Listen, this is exactly what was happening, okay? One of the reasons why so many Christians only want to achieve big is because that is the culture they grew up in. Our Christian churches, our The body of Christ, especially in the Western world, we want big. We want big results. We would rather drive hundreds of miles to hear a big name preacher and go out of our way than to be faithful to our own service, some of us. We would rather listen to somebody who's a popular name. We want professions. We want to know how many. We want to count hands. We want cards. We want numbers. We want statistics. Talking about David for a minute, you know, David's great sin really was not him and Bathsheba. I believe God forgave him for that. Please, God forgave him for all sin. Please don't misunderstand me here. But one of David's big sins was the sin of statistics. He wanted to know how many people he had in his army. He wanted to know the statistics so he could be great in his own eyes. And that was a big mistake on his end. We have a culture of statistics today. And that is, I'm so glad, you know, God's working. Oh, that's, you know, that's great to hear about, you know, so-and-so got saved. But, oh, boy, you should have been here during that great revival of so-and-so. Or, oh, man, you people today just don't understand what it was like back then. Listen, okay, God is not only the God of the big things, He is the God of small things. Don't despise the small things. God is working. God used a small boy named David to take 5 smooth stones and a slingshot and slay a giant. In fact, he only needed one of those stones. God took a handful of flour with a little oil to feed Elijah, a widow, and her son. God used 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes to feed a crowd of 5,000. To help a man with anxiety and depression who just wanted to give up, just wanted to end it all, God made himself known to him through a still, small voice. To call a mighty prophet who would be used to establish a monarchy in Israel, anoint Israel's first 2 kings, he spoke softly to a small child. That small child, of course, was Samuel. And how did Samuel respond to God when God said his name? Did he say, "Oh God, I just want to be used in a mighty way," or, "Oh God, I want all these great things"? What did he say? He says, "And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth." Do not despise the day of small things. Now, Zechariah asked, why despise the small things? Israel was rebuilding. They were in restoration. They were in renovation year. So, just a couple things here. Embrace the small things. Why should we embrace the small things? God uses small things. God's kingdom that will one day cover the entire earth did not start big. Okay? The King of Kings and Lord of Lords did not come as a king. He came as a babe in a manger, all right, at an animal stall. The gospel did not start with scholars. Where did the gospel start? God, 12 uneducated men. Embrace the small things. Number one, the three quick things for you, okay? Embrace the small things. Number one, God is willing. God is willing. For who hath despised a day of small things? God's working in your life. It may not be as big as you want it to be, okay? But first and foremost, God is willing. God is willing to use you. The fact that God even knows who we are is a humbling idea alone in itself. But the fact that God is willing to actually use us and allow us to get close to Him and stay close to Him because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is willing. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Does not matter what your past is. Does not matter what kind of mess that you've been in, where you're at. If you come to God and you turn away from that sin and you trust in Him, God can use you. First and foremost, it's God's will that all be saved. call upon the name of the Lord, and you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Lord Jesus Christ paid the debt. He did it all on an old rugged cross. We can be saved by putting faith in Him and Him alone. Now, not only does God want to save us, also we need God to serve Him. You can't be saved apart from the Holy Spirit of God, just like you can't serve apart from the Holy Spirit of God. So, the fact that God is willing, whether it be a sinner responding for the first time, or whether it be a saint who has fallen into sin, or whether it be a saint who just feels that they've been in a rut and stuck and they're just not getting anything done. Listen, embrace the small things, because number one, God is willing. The entire Bible is full of invitations from God to man to come to Him. Lord Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Think of the verse in Peter where it says, the Lord is not slack, but is long-suffering and is willing that all should come to repentance. If God's willing that all come to repentance and put faith in Him, he wants you to come to Him. I said that wrong, I apologize. He's not willing that any should suffer. If God is not willing that any should suffer, that means He's willing that everyone would come to repentance and have eternal life. God is willing for you to come to Him. He wants you, okay? God wants you to respond. God wants you to repent. God wants you to trust in Him. Christian, you've been battling something. God wants you to ask forgiveness so He can restore that fellowship. He doesn't want you to walk around in shame. He doesn't want you to walk around in guilt. God wants you to come to Him so He can use you, okay? Do not despise the day of small things. Do not despise the day where you say, you know what, I've had enough. I've been wallowing around with the pigs like the prodigal son. I left everything so I could go enjoy myself, and now I'm up to my wit's end. I'm knee deep in addiction and shame, and I've ruined my life. Well, listen, don't despise the day of small things. Where you're at, where you are right now, ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you. Call out to Him. Okay, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. He is willing. Number two, embrace the small things because God is working. The day of small things, that's especially, you think about strength is made perfect in weakness. You know, you think about how Daniel, you know, in slavery, and you think about how the world would be given the gospel by those uneducated disciples. God takes small things and uses them in a very, very big way. We love to quote the verse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. What's the hardest part of those verses? Lean not unto thine own understanding. We somehow or another, we have to measure our own success. We will never know on this side of eternity what all God is doing with our lives. What we need to do is we just need to have faith. The Lord Jesus Christ said, for without me, ye can do nothing. Okay? Embrace the small things. Embrace the small things because God is willing to use you. Number two, not only is God willing, God is working. And then number three, God is watching over. As Zechariah said, they are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. Job said, He knoweth the way that I take. When He has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. God knows, He knows it all. He understands. He knows everything you're going to face. He knows exactly what you need to get through those trials. He's already worked those things out. You just got to trust Him. Okay, God is watching over. Don't worry about the small things. Embrace the small things. God has a plan. I hope this was a blessing to you. I pray that the Lord can use this for His honor and His glory. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.
Thank you for listening to Preach the Word with Brother Dean Carmichael from Greensboro. You can email Brother Dean, preachtheword87@outlook.com. preachtheword87@outlook.com. You also can follow our dear friend Brother Dean Carmichael on Facebook, facebook.com/DeanCarmichaelJr.